This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
In here, we pour whiskey, 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 whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Get nice and comfortable.
Oh my God. So
are you comfortable?
Alone.
Right now. So we have some surprises that happened during the show. The ceiling will drop at any moment.
Like a fun house?
Yeah. This is a fun house.
Wow.
When I bought it was a fun house. That was part of my thing. I said I wanted to buy a fun house.
Speaking of fun house.
Yeah.
On the next corner from your house, one street over on the corner, mm-hmm. there is the house where they filmed It.
Yeah, it is.
It's like a rotten.
It's disgusting.
Abandoned. It's not disgusting. It's like cool. It's like a haunted house.
You should see the guy that lives there.
Oh, there's a guy there, like a Boo Radley type guy.
He looks like he worked in finance for 30 years and dedicated his entire life to a job. And then when he was done, he just sits in his house all day long.
Wow. Yeah. You're lucky.
Yeah.
You know, that raises your property value when you have a haunted house, like an authentic one.
Yeah,
a
real one.
That probably upped your pad probably, I'd bet about 80-90K.
I was going to say 80 or 90 bucks yeah. max, really.
K, no, K.
K. What's
1,000.
K mean? What does K mean?
1,000. 80,000.
Why would K mean 1,000?
That's just financial talk.
Yeah. What does it mean? Why does K mean 1,000?
It's like how in Germany, right? Mm-hmm. A W is a V and a V is a W. So K is quausend.
Quausend.
So 40 quausend.
40 quausend.
Because 1,000 is a German word.
Right, 1,000.
That went through the Thai language, and you get quausend.
Quausend.
So 50K, 100K.
100 quausend.
Did you think you're going to learn something like this quickly in your podcast?
No. And I'm glad I did,
within
man.
2 minutes, I probably learned you something.
You really did teach us. The whole audience is learning now. Should I introduce you?
I don't know that it
doesn't matter.
Necessary.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I wouldn't, but
I'm going to do it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. It's Harlan Williams teaching me about quausend. About one quausend. Dude, we work together at the store.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan. I've always loved your
shit.
Thank you. You work now so much in voice. Like, you do so much. I mean, I feel like you've always done voice stuff.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
But you do a shit. You do more than I ever. I looked it up. I was like, I wonder how many cartoons you've done. Do you know how many you've done?
No.
Take a guess.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
3 quausend?
You're less than a quausend.
Okay.
You're less than 1 quausend.
Oh, so that brings us into the gundreds.
The gundreds, yeah. You're around the gundreds.
4 gundreds?
Less than 4 gundreds.
Oh, that might bring us into the ilties.
Yeah, you're an ilty.
Fortly?
You're about sorgly ilty. Yeah, you're sorgly ilty. You're close.
Wow.
That's really good. Do you feel good about it?
Wow, yeah. I didn't realize. No, do you really know?
Yeah.
What is it?
46.
Get lost.
Yeah, no, I made that up. I have no idea, but I think it is.
If it was that much. Oh, man.
It's been a lot.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to do some really cool voice stuff, man. Yeah, it's...
Do you, like, is it one of those things where you go out of your way to try to do them, or people just love your voice and they're like, I want you to do them?
I never tried to do it. No, it was just one of those things where people came to me and it wasn't even on my radar. And then all of a sudden, I got asked to do some. And then I got a voice agent, and I never really pursued it because I was so busy. But every now and then they'd be like, hey, somebody's got a thing for you. And
right.
So it's not something that I really super actively pursue. But
you do it all the time now.
I've just been lucky. Yeah,
what's the most fun one that you think you've done?
Fun one. I did one that was really fun but challenging. It was called Ned's Newt.
Ned's Nude? Or Newt.
Newt. And it was about a newt, a kid had a newt, and when he was alone with it, it became this big giant newt. And then it it was kind of like Robin Williams in Aladdin. It just morphed into different characters.
Oh, that's cool.
Every line. So one line I'd be doing Groucho Marx. The next line I'd be doing Fay Wray. The next line I'd be doing Alfred Hitchcock. Whoa. Then I'd be doing a British guy and a woman, a man, an old man, Jerry Seinfeld. Like I had to, every line was new. And we did about 100 episodes. So I just kind of busted my chops in the voice world doing that show because I had to do like 8 million voices.
That's fucking nuts.
It was pretty intense.
Did you know going into it that's what it was going to be? No, they just threw it on you.
I had no idea.
Like, we love your voice, but we're going to make you do 1,000 other voices.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
1,000.
A thousand other voices. Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah.
A 1,000 other voices.
Good catch.
Because I've seen some of the... I know some of the things that you've done, and some of the things when I looked up, I was like, I wonder how much... It was some things I've like you. There's so much shit out there, cartoon wise, animation that no one knows about unless you're have a kid or you're in that world.
Yeah,
and then you know that shit all the time. Otherwise, there's stuff that like you know massively recognizable. But I had no idea there's like that many fucking animated shows that just get out there and go for a long, like a super long time. There's shows on there. Like I was looking up, there's a what was the name of that show? And it was like 9 years it was on the air. And I couldn't fucking, I was like, how come I never heard of that stuff? But I mean, it's got to be on either Nickelodeon or a fucking network that I'm never going to watch.
Yeah.
You know? Well, unless I know it's you, then I'll watch it.
I'll watch a kid's show with me on it?
I'll watch a sexy show with you on it, dude. I'll watch a sexy kid's show.
Oh, no. I wouldn't want you to. I do. I feel bad.
No, you shouldn't feel bad. I want to support. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm big into supporting.
Well, I think one of the funnest, most memorable moments I had was I was a guest on, I did a guest voice on an episode of Scooby-Doo.
That's fun.
And it was when Casey Kasem was alive.
Casey Kasem.
Right. So he did the voice of Shaggy.
Right.
So I was in the room with all the voice actors. Usually you do it alone, but I got to go in with all of them, and I got to see Casey Kasem go, Zoinks!
Zoinks!
You know how Shaggy used to? Yeah. I was just like, that made it for me.
His voice to me is so... some people don't even know who Casey Kasem is, but he was a... I guess he was like... what would kids today get? What would be the parallel for Casey Kasem was kind of like... Ryan Seacrest of the radio world.
Yeah, that's right.
That's probably the closest.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's probably the closest. Yeah. He was in everything. I remember hearing his voice constantly as a kid. I feel like he did fucking everything under the sun. Yeah. But he had this very like, it's Casey. It's the top 40 Casey Kasem. Yeah. It was like this very programmed. It was like kind of when you'd go to journalism school and you take a class on how to sound on the radio. They mock these old rhythms that these guys had for so long, and it's like and they all did that. Yeah. And he was like the best at that shit.
He was great. He was amazing.
But actually, you know what I did yesterday? We took a walk in the neighborhood, and Bob Hope's old house is over here.
Oh.
And it just resold for like $15 million.
Wow.
Yeah, and I broke in, and I robbed the place.
Yeah. What'd you get?
I got, there's a bunch of old statues, like a bunch of old really weird statues of other Hollywood elitists. You know, there's a Frank Sinatra. It's all nude statues. It's an old Sinatra nude statue. Yeah.
Wow. Buddy Marble Guy. Or?
No.
Granite?
Granite, yeah. Solid granite. I just threw it over my back and I took it for a walk.
Sinatra?
Yep, Sinatra. He's in the living room here.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a collector more than anything else.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I saw him in a parking lot once.
Frank Sinatra?
No, Bob Hope.
Yeah,
I was right around down this way. There's a little strip mall,
mm-hmm.
and there was a Pioneer Chicken, and a Walgreens drugstore.
Yeah,
and I pulled in, and all of a sudden I was sitting there in the parking lot, and a car pulled up beside me, and I looked, and it was this young girl, probably his daughter. And then there was Bob Hope sitting in the in the car, just really old and
yeah, he was really old. Shriveled. I feel like he was always old.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how some celebrities look like they were always old?
Yeah,
like he looked always old.
Yeah.
I guess Carson was like that for me. Like I didn't really know Carson as a young man, so all I knew was Johnny Carson looked like an older guy.
Yeah, because he had the gray hair.
Yeah, and he just was. I think like some guys, you know, like the image of someone that you'll always remember will be one specific point in time, right? Like Sammy Davis Jr. will always be remembered as this one image that you probably have in your head, you know?
Yeah.
Same thing with Sinatra. Nobody remembers Sinatra as an older looking guy.
Yeah.
You just remember him as that cool, debonair young dude, because old Frank Sinatra didn't look so good.
Yeah, I saw Sinatra live when he was kind of in that mid thing.
Like, not when he was on his way out, though.
Probably, like, let's see. Okay, so I saw Sinatra live in the 80s.
Yeah, that was probably in his latter half of his career when he was, like, was he a little chubby?
He was a little chubby and going bald. I saw him at the Riviera in Vegas. I'll never forget it. He had a big, he was doing a song.
Yeah.
He was like, and then in the middle of the song, he grabbed a glass that was on the thing. And he's like, luck be a lady tonight. I love booze. And then he just said that and then went right back into his song. He just held it up and said, I love booze, and then took a swig and put it back. It was so good.
That's great. That's so awesome.
It was amazing.
That's when you just, he doesn't give a fuck. That's when you, I think you just don't.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Like Don Rickles was like that too. I mean, Don Rickles always didn't give a fuck, but the more stuff I watch of him in the later parts of his career, he gave such a little fuck. I think he kind of wanted enemies a little bit. You know, when he would do interviews sometimes, he would just kind of be mean. And it's funny. It's his way.
Yeah.
But it's also so like, fuck you. I'm Don Rickles.
Yeah.
I'm going to be this way because I can. You have a very, whether or not it's true, you have a sunny disposition. You know, like I always feel like you're always in a good mood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you ever are you ever in a shitty mood? Because I've never seen you not smiling.
Oh, thanks, man.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I give thanks that I'm for the most part in a good mood. Yeah.
Do you hide it when you are bummed? Like if you have to go do shows, do you just fucking push it away?
No, I actually, it sounds strange, but I like it when I'm in a, like if I happen to be in a funk or I'm mad about something or I get depressed, I actually like to take that on stage because
really,
I don't set my energy when I go on stage. My disposition is preset. So if I'm feeling down or angry, or I bring that right with me and let it pull me.
Wow.
And it's really exciting because a lot of times some of the shows where I've not been feeling in a good mood or I was mad about something and I've brought that on stage, it's like opening a new door in your head when you're performing.
It's kind of like when people have a drink or they smoke weed or something before that. Like that's your crack is letting the emotions just happen as they may.
Yeah, I don't challenge them, and I let them permeate into the act, and I let them kind of steer the ship, and it takes me in very interesting places. So
yeah,
I don't normally go on stage like that. Normally I'm happy and excited, but if something does happen, I actually kind of, I go, oh man, I gotta work tonight, but then I go, oh well, I'm bringing this up, you know, and I know it's gonna do something different that I haven't done before.
Well, because you improv not a lot, but an okay amount on stage. Like you like to improv on stage.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So you, when you do, like, see, I find, and I've gone through different waves in my career of like where sometimes when I am in a bad mood, if I don't do jokes,
yeah,
my improv is going to be pretty negative because I can have a really, I don't know how to phrase it. Like I have a personality that sometimes it seems like I'm more angry than I am.
Okay.
When somebody's like,
yeah,
I'm not that mad. But if I'm not feeling well and then I go on stage and I bring any of that to them, I can feel them going, ooh, he's like a mean guy. That's like an angry, something's wrong. He's like angry and mean.
That's great.
You have to hide. No, yeah, but sometimes it backfires. Like fucking last week, there was this blacked out asshole in the front row of the main room, and Chris D'Elia had said, he was like, oh, be careful. There's a table of fucking drunk jagoffs in the front, and they're talking so much.
Yeah.
He's like, they're an inch away from getting thrown out. By the way, Chris D'Elia is my arch enemy. You do know that, right?
Oh.
My fans and I, we call him Chips Delano. I hate him. I hate his guts.
You hate his
and
gut,
I want everyone to fucking burn him down. I hate him. I want him gone.
Wow.
Off the earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my closest friends, but I really don't. I don't want him around.
Have you ever heard of a magazine called Soldier of Fortune?
No. What is it?
Look it up, but there's a little area in the back, like want ads, where you can maybe clean this up.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I can take care of Chips if I need to, bitch. That's for Chris, you bitch. Anyway, he said something nice to me, and he was like, go out there and kill it. They're going to be shitty in the front row. Just ignore them. And of course, I go out there, and I'm in a little bit of a shitty mood, like a little bit already in my head, and I'm like, okay, just get away from it. I'm having a good set, and this guy fucking stands up. Like, I mean, full, and raises his glass. He's like, "You're funny, man." I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You got something to say. You're funny and like you have something to say." And the room is silent because they're like, "What is that? Is he trying to be funny or is he on something?" And usually I know how to handle it, but I was annoyed and angry. So I just was so fucking mean. And it was, it was too mean that it wasn't funny anymore.
Oh, you know? Wow. Yeah.
I was just cruel to him. And then the crowd was like, "Ooh, that's like, you're a mean guy."
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, there's this weird balance of like, when you're fucking around with somebody, you have to still exude this like, "I'm kidding." But for me, it was like, "I want to hit you in the fucking head with a baseball bat." And I meant it. Like, I really wanted to knock him out with a blunt object and hurt him. Because my anger gets the best of me sometimes.
And that's a good exercise for you, because the challenge in the future is to thread that anger.
Yeah.
And come across as that guy, but also find that thin line where you're still, the audience is still on your side.
Yeah, you want them on your team. I know how to handle it after all these years of that kind of asshole.
Yeah.
And once in a great while, they get the best of you. And I'm like, "God damn it. He's going to make me look like I'm the bad guy now." But he's the bad guy for standing up and being an asshole in the middle of a show and interrupting in the middle of my joke. But then I look like the fucking jerk because I'm like belittling him because I have all the power. You know what I mean? It's like you automatically look like a fucking asshole. Like, you automatically are like, "Oh, well, this guy's he's just mean just because he's being too mean to this guy. He could have just let it go."
You know, an exercise might be for you to try is, instead of...
You really want me to exercise, by the way.
I do. But try this next time. Instead of going after him, just... Yeah. Express your feelings of how you feel
real
on
tough.
Stage.
That's real tough.
Yeah, and just like, you know, like tell him how he's making you feel, but not like a wussy, but just be so honest that the audience can never hate you for being 100% honest. And in opening that door, you'll find a lot of really good comedy where you'll be able to dismantle him without...
Yeah.
Touching the anger, but you're still going to get across everything you're feeling that you're angry about without expressing the actual anger.
The problem is my honesty is real anger.
Oh, I see. That's good.
That's the issue.
That's is the that Viking blood.
Yeah, huh? When a guy does that, I'm like, I want to fucking kick you in the head as hard as I can.
Wow.
And like, I just mean it.
You're a warrior.
Yeah.
Well, that's good then. I'm glad you let that out.
Yeah, the audience did like
it. They
were
like it.
This guy's uncomfortable. I just skip over it. I just look away and I a lot of times when people talk at shows, I just pretend like I didn't hear it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. It's almost like they're so annoyed that they got shut down. They're like, "Oh, I can't believe I didn't get what I wanted." It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's like a disappointed child, you know? They're like, "Oh, wow, I didn't get anything at all." And they just sit down in there. And I think they sulk in the idea that they've made a bad mistake. So usually I do the right thing, you know? Usually you do the right thing. I see you handle fucking rowdy crowds and annoying crowds. You usually triumph pretty gloriously. But, I mean, your biggest flaw that we all talk about at the club is that your tendency to get nude is not... In this climate, I figured it would stop at this point.
Well,
but you taking off your pants, I don't think is a nice thing to do, and I don't think it's appropriate.
I think it's, I don't know. I think it's fine. This is, you know, the 90s, I did it.
This is not the 90s.
No, but this is...
Oh, in the 90s is when you
later.
Started doing it?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
And this is 20 years later, and, you know, I think we've all got skin underneath, right?
Might as well show it.
I'm not ashamed of nudity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you, if somebody said, "Hey, I'm throwing a private event, I want you to come do stand up and do completely naked," would you do it? If it was a good amount of money? If they're like, "I just want you to do it naked," would you do that for them?
Well, I actually have a real story if you want me to tell you.
Give it, yeah.
So, when I was just getting started, I think I was about 25, I'd been doing.
Where did you start, by the way?
In Toronto.
You started in Canada.
Yeah. And then, I was doing it about a year, and then I went over to Australia for about 4 months just to, you know, wander.
Yeah, to be free.
Yeah, and I ended up in Sydney, and I went to the Comedy Store in Sydney, downtown Sydney,
they
Australia.
They have a Comedy Store as well, that's right.
And I went up on amateur night, and I did like 5 minutes. And then when I got off stage, the owners asked me to headline for 2 weeks. And I was like, okay.
Really?
Yeah,
it
was pretty
shit.
Wild. Yeah. And so And so I think it was my third night on stage. I finished my act, and this beautiful girl came up to me with her boyfriend. She was like, "Oh, you are so bloody funny. Would you like to play at our club?" And I said, "When?" And she goes, "Oh, we could do it next Thursday." And I was like, "Okay." She goes, "Here's $40 for the cab ride. Here's the address, and we'll pay you like $400 for 20 minutes. And I was like,
"Damn.
Wow, this just keeps getting better,
yeah,
right?"
Yeah, when you first start, that's incredible.
Yeah, so the next Thursday, I got in a cab, and she's asked me at like 11 o'clock at night, and I was like, okay, and I get in a cab, and you know, I'm driving through the city streets, and all of a sudden, we come to like a giant office building, like the one in Die Hard, you know?
Yeah, right. Nakatomi Towers.
Yeah, that's the one. And I get out, and it's like a ghost town, right? It's just like empty streets. I'm in the central business district. So I walk in, and security guards open the door, and I get in the elevator, and it's right at the top, right? So I go all the way up, and the elevator opens, and it's purple neon glowing everywhere.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
And all of a sudden, from around the corner, this beautiful woman, like, just appears. Like, she just came. She goes, "Hello, love." And I look, and she's literally wearing leather straps like this thick, covering her nipples and her,
like a spaghetti strap bathing suit.
Yeah, leather straps. And I'm like, "What the hell's?" She goes, "Come on in." And I said, "What is this place?" She goes, "It's a sex club." And I said, "What?" She goes, "Would you mind taking your clothes off?" And I go, "What?" I said, "No, I'm not taking. What is this?" She goes, "Well, would you at least put on this bathrobe, you know?" And so I put on a bathrobe over my clothes.
Yeah.
And she gave me a tour, and she was like, "This is the hot tub area. This is the orgy room. This is the S&M room. And there's the stage you're going to be doing the show on." And then we went and sat down, and then her boyfriend came and sat beside us, and then another nude couple came, and they were just the man was eating nachos, and his girlfriend was like giving him a hand job under the table.
What?
I'm just sitting there like, what's going on?
Naked nachos while getting jerked off?
Yeah.
Pretty fun, though.
And I ended up doing the damn show. I did 20 minutes in a bathrobe, and I got the hell out.
Wait, you did it with your clothes on underneath?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was just like...
Wait, you didn't want to stay? You weren't
curious? I was too scared. I was 25. I didn't know the ways of the world. I was
25. I'd have been like, this is my heaven.
Oh, man. I was kind of petrified, to be honest, but it was...
Were people having sex while you were on stage? Or did everyone stop and come into the main area?
They kind of stopped to come in, but they're all naked. They had to be naked, and they were like, it was just so, it was like, you know that old saying, if you want to be funny, picture everyone naked? Well,
yeah.
It was like the opposite. They were all naked, and I was
picturing
in
you.
A bathroom like Mr. Howell from Gilligan's Island. It was ridiculous.
Penny. What was her name? What was that?
Lover.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And they gave you the cash, and they were like, all right, have a good night.
They couldn't have been nicer, but then they asked me if I wanted to hang out. I was just like, nope. I was too scared.
I would have stayed at least just to check it. I would want to, even if I didn't fuck, I would have just watched. The orgy room would have been great. I want to just see an orgy room. You hear about that? And
yeah.
I just want to know what, I just want to see it.
Yeah.
Just sit back and eat some nachos.
it was odd, man. So that was, yeah.
How much time did you spend in Australia thereafter? You were there. That's already 3 weeks that you're there, right?
Yeah. So I was there. I went to Australia for, three and a half months. And then I did a week in New Zealand and a week in Fiji.
Damn. And it was totally unplanned.
Yeah, well, I planned it.
No, I mean in the sense, like, you didn't know how long you were going to stay.
I knew I was going to stay for 4 months, but I didn't really know where I was going. I just thought, I'll start in Sydney, and then I'll just...
bounce around.
Motor and wander, and it was, like, kind of planes, trains, and automobiles, and walking, and trains, and hitchhiking.
Have you ever done that since? Have you gone to another place and stayed for a long time and just kind of jumped around?
Not like that, where I just kind of wandered, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've done tons of road trips in other places where I've just kind of meandered, but this one was really, like, bare bones. Like,
yeah.
One day I walked, like, 9 miles, you know, I just never knew when I woke up where I was going or how I was getting there. But
that's
that was
awesome.
The point. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you can do when you're 25.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is so wonderful, man. I feel like that you can only do that so many times. I've done that a few times of just like we flew into We flew into Italy. I was in England going to school, and then we flew into Italy one night.
Yeah.
And we got in it. It was the only flight we could afford, and we got in at 1 a.m. And the hostel, whatever it was like a hostel, like a shared space, they were closed. And one of their rules was you had to be there by 11 p.m. or they locked the doors.
Oh, wow.
For safety reasons, like, or whatever. So we slept outside. We had oranges and cigarettes, and we slept outside. But it was one of the most fun nights of my life.
Why would you sleep outside when you could have slept in the Colosseum? That's a big area.
It was in Venice.
No, it's in Rome. The Colosseum's in Rome.
We were in Venice.
Yeah, but
the Colosseum's in Rome.
Yeah.
So we should have... I got what you're saying. So we landed in Venice and we
should have
walked to Rome.
Got down to Rome.
How did we not get to... Nice, we should have gone to Rome and just slept outside in the Colosseum.
No, in it.
It's not covered. You know that, right?
What?
Yeah, it's not covered. They took off that roof. Took off it years ago.
Oh, shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then you made the right play.
See? Yeah. We did the right thing.
Nice play, Shakespeare.
They say Rome wasn't built in a day. Do you know that that's not true? It was. They finished in just under a day. It's 22.6 hours.
Really?
Yeah, you could look it up. It's just so weird that they say that Rome wasn't built. It's almost like condescending to the guys that built it in a day. Their whole thing was...
That's a slap in the face.
Well... I think it was politics more than anything, you know? And it was the ancient aliens that built Rome anyway. You believe in that, right?
I do, yeah.
The aliens built all that shit. Pyramids, aliens.
Well,
Lugging up that much? Who's lugging that around? Impossible.
Yeah, I've been in the pyramids and I've been in the Colosseum, and I don't know that it looks like alien handiwork.
No?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. It feels very terrestrial to me.
What is alien handiwork?
Alien handiwork has a sheen to it and a glow. It's luminescent and it...
Like the Eiffel Tower.
And it makes a noise, like it hums. It's like...
The whole time?
Yeah, there's just a little silent... Wow. And the Colosseum only had... The only noises I could hear were the silent, agonized screams of ghosts, of people being ripped apart by lions and... And the pyramids had the haunting sound of hollow eye sockets from mummies twisting in the night. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever think when they were wrapping up those wrapping people in that, and mummifying people, that what if they ran out of wrap early and they were like, fuck.
Yeah.
If they just didn't.
Like all wrap but a leg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, shit, I thought you were supposed to get, did you not count the yards of, you fucked up. Well, he's going to have a leg out. Yeah, and they would just make it so they would just make it so they would close the bottom.
Oh, that's bad packaging.
And they just left the tops open, so all you could see is the top.
I wonder if they made a mummy nowadays if they'd put those pink foam peanuts in with the wrapping first.
Yeah, you'd put those
just in to keep it.
Yeah, keep it from shifting around.
Yeah.
Yeah, packing peanuts
or bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap would be funny.
Bubble wrap a mummy?
How funny would it be to have bubble wrap in your coffin? That would be so fucking funny.
That'd be great.
And one would just pop from the weight at the funeral and scare everybody.
Oh, that'd be great. Yes.
when it's your time to say goodnight, do you want to be cremated or put underground?
I want to be taxidermied.
Oh,
because I don't want to be forgotten. I think it's sad that we contribute in this world and we're entities and we do things and we create, and then when it's done, we're pretty much eradicated from history.
Yeah.
Right? We're burnt or we decompose. Mm-hmm. And that's, you're either ashes or you're powder, and I think, you know, we'll taxidermy a fox or a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
But why don't I get to see you taxidermy? Why can't I go in your parents' hallway when I go to visit at Christmas and you're just there like a polar bear, like, you know, one of those animal poses, like, ah.
But that's their natural state. So we would be in our natural state. You'd be holding a microphone.
Or bowling.
Bowling. You love bowling.
Bowling pose, hanging over the fireplace in a bowling pose.
I guess that's a good idea. But I think that we taxidermy things because we kill them. So they kill them, they're proud of the kill. So somebody would have to kill you and then...
Not really. Some people taxidermy their pets, like their cats and their dogs.
Yeah, but they have to kill them for that to happen. You know that. They can't die naturally. Like I'm planning on choking my dog and then so I can taxidermy it.
You can taxidermy it? Yeah, but see, I would love to have like, you know, and you don't have to say yes right now. Think about it, but...
Yes.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. I'd love to have you, like, in the corner of my living room.
You'd want me?
Like, just, you know, maybe you have your hand out like this with a beer in it or whatever, a whiskey, mm-hmm. and then at parties I can actually put a real bottle in your hand, and then maybe we can, you know, manipulate your arm so that it goes like put a little battery, and then you're just standing there. Like, wouldn't that be great? And everyone would say, who's the red-headed freak? And then I tell the story of Andrew.
That's the Santino. And then when I pour, my mouth is open, but it's your voice that goes, say, welcome to the party. Go ahead.
Welcome to the party.
That'd be so great. Yeah. That'd be so great.
Or even like, hey, gang, we could, you know, shut the party down, and then we have a tape recorder in your back, and you do some of your old bits.
Oh, that's fun.
And see what I mean? Already
you're lighting up.
Because
I want to
now you're not
people.
Gone. I don't go to a graveyard, a depressing graveyard, look at an old stone that says, here lies Big Red or it says. Instead, you're at like a Hollywood Hills party pouring booze and telling your jokes. And people are probably, drunks are probably putting cigarettes in your mouth and
pitting them out
ruffling
on my head.
Your hair.
Yeah.
Girls are grabbing your fresh beef.
Is my is my penis still intact?
Yeah. Oh, well, you got a taxidermied penis.
So it's hard then. It's rock. But I want a taxidermied rock hard. I want to get a hard.
That's the great thing. You can have whatever you want. You could be taxidermied with an erection, and then it becomes a coat rack too for the party.
Right.
They could hang purses.
Someone to do pull-ups on. Someone to hang on to.
A midget. If there's a midget there that wants to do a pull-up.
Brad Williams.
Yeah.
And he would come over to your house and he would do a pull-up on my penis.
Or it could even be a tap like those old water pumps. Like people could go like that and Guinness could come out of your mouth.
It could be a beer tap would be really cool. Or out of my ass. That's funny because you put the cup in the back.
We could have that frozen ice cream, the swirly
soft serve.
Ass swirl.
Ass serve.
Ass serve.
Soft ass serve.
Soft ass serve and Guinness, dude.
That's awesome.
See, already, isn't this great? Like, you're still being useful. Yep. You're still there. There's your likeness. There's your image. It's your real skin.
Yeah, it's my real
bubble wrap. No, no gauze. It's your real petrified skin, your Hannibal Lecter-style skin.
It's who I really am.
And people are going to remember you. They're still going to laugh. They're going to have fun. You're going to be in this pose. And if you want, we can even get, like, you can have add-ons. You know, some of the taxidermies, you'll see a bobcat and there'll be like a baby deer jumping.
Yeah.
We could have like a baby deer jumping in front of you.
Or another comedian. We could have another comic.
Maybe the Brad Williams, the midget.
And maybe it'll be Brad.
Yeah, he could be like diving away and you could have your teeth out.
Like I'm going to eat him.
So it'll be like an action taxidermy death scene for you.
Actually, it'll be me bringing up the next comic to the stage. So I'll be shaking the hand of the next comic about to come onto the stage. Right?
Well, yeah.
Like I'm bringing them into the afterlife to party with me.
That's true. Or I know you're very sexual. Maybe you could have an intercourse taxidermy. Like you with...
Just me having sex with another taxidermied
like a baby
body.
Deer or...
An animal.
Or a bobcat. Or if you want a dead actress, how about
famous
Ethel Merman? You're plowing Ethel Merman
older.
In the corner.
Let's go older.
Phyllis Diller?
Phyllis Diller would be great.
You could be 69ing Phyllis Diller in the corner. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I mean, Lucille Ball.
Yeah, dude.
Lucille Ball, leg wrapped around my head, and I'm buried in her bush, and her arms are backwards. She's flying off.
Now you're getting it.
Wow. Do you have enough room for this in your house? Like, you
have
a place?
It doesn't even have to be my house. It could be your parents' house. It could be your brothers and sisters, your wife when you leave her behind.
Yeah, okay.
Because she's going to want to remember you, probably.
But not with the... Not probably with the Lucille Ball thing. Who knows?
I've heard she's kind of kinky.
She's a kink. Yeah, she's kinky.
Why suppress her fantasies?
Yeah, you're right. I guess I shouldn't.
Shouldn't be selfish in death.
We should really start taxidermying people. Now, how much do we think this would cost, really, honestly?
Who cares?
That's right.
For eternity. It's your last payment.
Money doesn't matter.
You know what I mean? It's the last time you're going to spend. So let's say you spend $6,000 on a funeral. Funerals aren't cheap.
Six thousand.
So a funeral costs $6,000 to $10,000, a low rent funeral.
Sure.
So I'm sure a taxidermy job. How tall are you?
6'1".
Yeah, I bet you're about 7.5 kwei.
7.5 kwei. So it's about 1.2 kwei per foot.
And the other good thing is, I know you've always told me you hate the color of your eyes. You could get blue eyes. You can get any color eyes. I know you've always said your eyes always
hate
bothered
my eyes.
You.
Hate my eyes. A girl once told me they look like dirty lake water.
Yeah.
That stuck with me for the rest of my life.
I always thought they looked like tobacco sauce. Or what? How do you say it?
Tabasco?
Tabasco sauce mixed with beef gravy.
Can I tell you, tobacco sauce sounds actually more accurate.
Yeah, well, that's not when someone spits. Yeah.
My eyes are the color of tobacco sauce.
But, dude, I think, you know, taxidermied, and now that we're talking about it as buds,
yeah.
Who's to say we couldn't have a scene together with some trees, fake trees,
okay.
Some rocks with a speaker in it, and me and you, like, just standing there, you know, like the Hall of Presidents, but we're comedians.
But we're the Hall of comedic Presidents.
Yeah.
Who would make the cut, though, with us? It'd be me, it'd be you. Who are the other biggest? We got to have some of the biggest
Crystalia.
Names.
Crystalia. What?
Okay,
what?
Fine.
Did I
fine.
Say something wrong? What? I just said Crystal. He's a comedian.
Don't say his name. I don't like that guy.
CD.
Perfect.
So we'll have CD.
Sounds like a disease. I have CD. They diagnosed me with CD last month.
Oh.
Yeah.
See what I did there? OCD.
OCD. They diagnosed me with OCD. Yeah. You still got any CDs at your house?
I do.
What do you got?
Someone just sent me two of them, and I didn't have the heart to say. So a friend of mine up in Canada does like road managing. She manages rock bands.
Say hi. She's probably listening.
And Aunt May, hi. And she emailed me and she said, oh no, I saw her on Facebook. She says, oh, I'm going out with Lee Aaron. She's this really beautiful, sexy, like great Canadian rock singer.
Love it.
Lee Aaron. So she was on the road with her. So I texted her on Facebook and I said, hey, I see you with Lee. Tell her I said hi. She's great. I love her. And she goes, oh, do you want me to send you some of her latest CDs? And I didn't have the heart to say, what? What D's? Like,
you just said yes without going.
So I didn't want to hurt her. So I just said yes. Oh, yes, please. So like last week in the mail, I got three CDs from Lee Aaron. And I'm just like, I'll never be able to hear these.
What are you going to do with them?
I don't know.
Make something of them. Make something of those CDs.
Maybe I could put them on my taxidermied eyes and people think I'm an owl boy.
Or you're holding them.
Yeah.
Like these will never go out of style.
Yeah. Or maybe I could put a CD player in my chest so that when people come to the house, you press the button, my right tit slides out.
Ooh.
No, it's one of those flat ones where it goes boo, so it goes around my areoli.
Ooh, it spins that way.
Spins. Or I could have two areoli CDs.
So you could have two discs running at the same time.
Fuck me tender in the nut. Sorry.
You can say anything you want on this podcast, but fuck me tender in the nuts. Is that what you're going to say?
No, in the night.
In the night.
Yeah, I like it at night.
Why? You're not a daytime guy?
I like owl sex. Have you ever climbed up a tree and face plowed an owl?
I've never fucked an owl.
You will.
I'm young.
Yeah.
I still got time.
You got time, bro. You got trees in the yard. I saw some.
If I climb one of these trees, though, it's usually because I'm peeping Tom. I've been peeping Tom on my neighbor.
Really? What's he look like?
He's like 6'2", 6'3", pretty muscular.
Wow.
He has no legs, though, which is really strange. He gets around just by, he does handstand. He walks on his hands.
You like nubbins. I know that about you.
I'm Mr. Nubbins. Mr. Nubbins. Wow. So I just watch him change.
Oh, dude, what? Can I come over tonight? Is there room up there for another one?
Of course. I put two chairs up there. Just in case a pal wanted to come over.
What kind of tree? Do you know?
It's a walnut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's strong.
So you got that scent.
It's beautiful.
And you're watching some nubbins.
Yeah, I'm watching Mr. Nubbins. It's quick, so you got to come over because the changing is really just a shirt. So he's really not. There's nothing else. No pants, no socks, no underwear.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I'm down.
If you do want it, well, you'll be up. We'll be up in the tree. You won't be down at all. You'll be up.
Okay.
And you'll be in a great mood.
Yeah,
I usually do that right before I go do comedy, right before I go do sex.
Right.
I watch him change.
Nubbins in the sunset.
We call it Nubbins and Dusk.
Nubbins and Dusk.
Yeah, I got a date at Nubbins and Dusk, which is the name of the restaurant that I think we should open up, Nubbins and Dusk.
Oh, yeah? What will we serve?
I think
turkey legs?
Turkey. Yeah, yeah. We would just be demeaning towards Nubbins. You know, it'd be all legs. It'd be all the legs of animals.
Just legs.
Just legs.
Legs only.
Just legs. Just chicken legs, turkey legs. It'll be all only legs.
In here, we pour whiskey, whiskey, whiskey.
This episode of Whiskey Ginger is brought to you in part by ExpressVPN. If you believe that you're not getting snooped on, if you don't think somebody's hunting down for your data, whatever they say, and the nudes on your phone, trust me, they are. Someone is trying to find all your good, dirty little secrets on your phone. And this is one way to stop them. Go to expressvpn.com. That's expressvpn.com/whiskey for a 3-month free trial with a 1-year package. ExpressVPN is incredible, man. It runs in the background of your computer or your phone. You just use the internet like you always do. Connect it. You're protected. It's less than $7 a month. I mean, come on. Don't you want peace of mind? For $7 a month, you can make sure that your internet is safe. Who wouldn't want to do that? I don't want all my nudes of me in Ibiza getting leaked all over the web, so I use ExpressVPN. Helps me stay protected from all the hackers and Big Brother and internet companies and the government. I'm trying to steal my information and sell it, man. I'm not into that. So do me a favor. Go to expressvpn.com/whiskey. Get yourself a 3-month trial. That's expressvpn.com/whiskey to enjoy a little bit more safety. This episode of Whiskey Ginger is also brought to you by Bombas. Bombas. B-O-M-B-A-S. Socks. Bombas socks, man. These are so cool. Listen, I threw away a bunch of socks as soon as I got these because they were so comfortable. And it's back to school time, kiddos. You got to get your feet in something dope in case you got to take your shoes off in gym class and show everybody. You don't want to show off dirty white socks. You know, you want something cool with a pattern on it. Back when I was in school, everybody had garbage white socks with those colored tops, you know, blue and red stripes. This is more creative now, although I think they have those socks. But it's way more creative. It's way more comfortable. These socks are awesome. They have low cut, no show, knee high. They got it all, baby. Go to bombas.com/whiskey. Get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/whiskey for 20% off. And get you and your kiddos in some comfy little feet cushions before you slide them into those new kicks when you go back to school. Go get yourself some Bombas, baby. Thank me later.
Ginger. I like gingers.
I love you. I really do. You're a wonderful brain. Do you think comedy in your head came from your family, or just was it like were your parents? Did they have a great sense of humor?
I think in my lineage there's a great sense. You know, Irish. My grandfather yes. was probably the funny guy in my family, but my family surprisingly they love to laugh. They have a great sense, but they're surprisingly sure. kind of not.
They're a little
like jokey and funny.
They're a little like maybe conservative.
They're stoic. Stoic, yeah. They're great laughers. They love to laugh, but they're not like they. I don't think they have like kind of the sense of humor that somehow I got.
What do you think it is? What do you attribute it to?
I have no idea, man.
Really, nothing.
There wasn't probably just to God, really, because I think anyone who can make people laugh is a gift.
Yeah,
like I do believe that, and I think if you have a gift, you give thanks to God. You know,
yeah, gotta so, be so. Or whatever it is you believe in.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever universal thing you believe in.
Yeah.
Well, because like half of the comics I ask when they were a kid what made them funny, because I always used to I like to try to find out what do you think was the thing that started the funny for you. And a lot of people have the same thing. They go, oh, I was the funniest guy that anybody knew in the neighborhood, or the funniest guy in class, or I was really fucking awkward and weird, and that's how I handled being uncomfortable in situations. Mine was family. My family was...
Oh, yeah.
I was funny, but my family just...
Oh, you're lucky.
Everything was a joke.
Like, oh, that's great. And were they actually, even though they were jokes, were they funny with the jokes?
My grandfather was the funniest dude I knew.
Oh, that's the best.
So, like, it just always kind of had, like... Everybody took the piss out of everything. Like,
that's great.
I don't think...
I'm jealous to hear that.
Yeah, it wasn't that serious. Like,
how big was the family?
My mom's one of 10. So fucking huge.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, you're so
and
lucky.
Everyone was kind of a, fucking who cares attitude. You know, like, let it go. We would shit on almost everything.
Oh, you're so lucky. That,
because it just kind
beautiful.
Of... Well, it fueled my love of, like, satire. I think satirical stuff, to me, is... It just when you're able to mock stuff and make fun of, you know, like punching up is always the funniest thing in the world to me. When anybody punches up, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I think punching down is not really fun. That's why I said with the guy when I got mad, when I was like, I demeaned him, made me angry. I was like, I shouldn't have gone there.
But always
punching up, always making fun of those that have is always funny. That's why I think who said it? I don't know what comic, Rock or somebody like that said, when comics get money, it can be a bad thing. Not always. But it can kind of disconnect you a little bit from the reality of what you used to make fun of, you know?
Oh, I
most
see.
Comics make fun of upstairs, you know? They're like this upstairs, downstairs. Some of the greatest comedic movies are based on Animal House and Caddyshack and all these movies that are based on mocking the haves. The have-nots right. mocking the haves.
That's
you know?
True to a degree, but...
Not always. It's not always. But it just has... Comedy lies in the world of mocking what makes you uncomfortable, usually, you know? Or mocking what, like... You know, mocking what you find to be ridiculous. Whatever that is. Like, oh, that's so silly that you would fucking... That people do that. That we have to kind of shit on it, you know?
Yeah, that's part of it, definitely.
It's, I don't think... I don't know if it's the only thing, but I think for me that was always like making fun of the have stuff was always the funniest to me because I never, you know...
Yeah.
We didn't grow up with a ton of money and not that we were poor, but it just... That was the easiest thing to make fun of. Were you a rich kid?
No.
Nope.
I mean, we were okay. My parents, I think, had money, but they weren't. They were frugal. They weren't good at giving out the money to the kids. They made us really work for everything, like really hard.
How many kids?
Five of us.
How many boys?
None. Just me.
You're the only boy.
Two younger sisters. Two older sisters.
Wow. You're the only boy.
Yeah.
The prince.
Yeah.
The young little Prince Harland.
Le petit prince.
Le petit prince. And here he comes into the room.
Yeah.
Little Harland. Did you speak French?
I did, yeah.
You have to, right, in that part of Canada. You don't
have
to.
Well, yeah, and I'm French-Canadian, too, so I...
Oh, you're born in Quebec?
No, but on my mother's side, French-Canadian, and Irish, and on my dad's side, Welsh.
Do they hate Americans, the French-Canadian?
No.
They don't?
Not at all. That's a myth. All the hostility and animosity, people, oh, Canadians, hey, they don't.
Canadians, but French Canadians, I feel like they're totally different from most Canadians that
I know. French Canadians are a little more like sassy. They're a little more like attitude, a little more, you know, sensitive maybe. But it's not in a bad way. They don't sit around and say they hate, you know, America or anything like that. No.
You do, though. I have heard you say that.
No.
And when did you move to the States?
I moved here in, I think it was 87, I think.
And you're specifically the illegal aliens that Donald Trump is trying to stop from coming in.
Me?
People like you. Yes, exactly. People like you. These Canadians that jumped the wall.
I actually had to go through the whole process, man.
It sucks, huh?
Well, it didn't suck, but it was just the way, you know?
Yeah.
And what's disheartening is to see that myself and millions of other people went through all the, you know, all the procedures, the mm-hmm. money, the waiting, the wondering, hiring an immigration lawyer. Like, it's not an easy process to come down here, even doing it the right way. It takes a lot of time, a lot of money when you're just getting going in life. Like, I had to use a big part of the only savings I had to get an immigration lawyer and get the documentation started. And then now you kind of see, you can just dance across and you don't need anything.
If you walk across, they will stop you. But if you dance across, you dance. They tend to let you go.
Yeah,
if you got good enough moves.
Yeah, so it's kind
of
weird.
It is crazy. I have a lot
like
of Canadian friends.
You feel like a bit of a chump, you know, that you did it the right way. Well, why did I do all this when I didn't have to?
You're protected now.
Yeah. No, I'm glad I did it, but it's just a weird, out of whack system, as evident from everything that's going
fucking
on.
A. Yeah. You're still a Canadian, though.
Yeah, I'm dual.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, Mr. Yeah. Dual.
Yeah, I got
that's
two.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah, thanks.
Two passports is cool.
Two-pack, bro. Yeah.
Two passport people are cool. When I see them, I'm always like, that's very fucking cool.
Yeah.
I don't even have an American passport.
What do you have, Irish?
No, I have nothing. They just know who I am when I show up.
They just know. They just got you're just a fingerprint guy.
They see me and they go, whoa, he's here.
That guy.
And they escort me aside. They go, Mr. Santino, I'm welcome. Welcome.
Wow.
Yeah. Wherever I go, really, I've been let into every country, always. I went to Egypt last year and they let me right in.
They did?
They gave me a separate. Yeah, they saw me in line. They said, Mr. Santino's
Send
here.
Him in.
Yep. They Send pulled him me in. Aside and they said, where are we going? I said, we're going to the pyramids. I want to hear the hum. I want to hear the alien
Did you
hum.
Go?
I did, man.
What did you think?
Sat atop the pyramids. I think they're fake. I think it's made up. I think the government made it up.
Really?
Phony.
Really?
Yeah. They've been feeding us these lies. You know, the moon is a fucking... Have you heard about the moon being... it's a painting?
No.
Yeah. Fact. I feel like all this... It's just that the more I grow, the more I find about all this stuff. You know, the streets are paved with gold. You know that phrase, the streets aren't paved with gold? They were actually paved with gold.
Where?
Here in Los Angeles, originally, yeah.
Like filaments or what?
No. Gold. 24 karat gold.
Pure sheets of gold. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Yeah, they were paving the streets of gold and, you know, people started stealing it, obviously. And it was, you know, every day they would lay down a new block and someone would steal it.
I don't think there's enough gold on the planet to pay.
Not anymore. Now that it's been stolen.
Oh my God.
It's fucking insane, man. These people were stealing the streets. Yeah.
Whack-a-mole.
That's what it was. It was whack-a-mole, man. Wow. They would catch them, kill them, and then they'd pave the same street the next day.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems super inefficient, but that's really what the city of Los Angeles did.
That is heavy, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot about LA that I think I could teach you a ton of stuff. You know how they say that we don't have a water source?
Yeah.
That's not true. This whole city literally sits on top of a lake.
Yep. An underground lake.
Mm-hmm. Underground lake.
How big?
Well, I mean, approximately 755 million gallons, so pretty fucking big.
Size-wise, what would that be? The size of what state?
185 Olympic swimming pools plus Iowa.
Really?
Yeah.
How deep?
39 feet. I don't know why they didn't go to 40, but 39 exactly. Yeah. 39 feet deep.
It's underground water.
Mm-hmm. Underground water. Yeah, and only so many people have access to it. Oprah.
Yeah.
Pat Sajak.
Yeah.
It's extremely selective food. There's a list online. Oprah, Pat Sajak, one of the old executives at Fox, you know?
Yeah.
And there's two more people that I just can't remember their names, but they're, you know, one of the Vegas, you know, the Wynn, you know, Wynn,
yeah,
Wynn Hotel.
Yeah, Steve Wynn.
He's Steve Wynn. He's got it. Yeah, he has access.
How far down is it?
It's the depth of the water is 39 feet.
How far down into the earth?
75 miles.
75 miles?
Yep.
Wouldn't that be molten at that point?
It's warm. The water's very warm.
It's very warm.
Yeah. It's a hard process. When they take it out, they have to cool it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But but the piping is made, it's packed, the piping is packed with this ice distillate, so it cools as it comes up.
Wow.
Yeah. People don't know most of the stuff about Los Angeles. That's the craziest part.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know about the Black Dahlia? You probably know who did that, right? The murder?
The murder? Who did it?
Yeah.
Who did it?
No, I thought it. You said you knew stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I thought you knew.
No,
you're making it sound
I'm
like you're
asking
privy.
You.
Oh, of course
said
I know.
You know stuff.
Of course I know.
Who?
Well, I mean, should I talk about that kind of stuff on the podcast? I feel like that's a little bit of a. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you really want to know?
I'm okay if you say it.
You're not going to go snitching or anything.
No.
Okay. Well, I feel like this is a little unfortunate to admit, but it was Ben Affleck. It was Ben Affleck.
He killed the Black Dahlia?
He killed the Black Dahlia. He killed Black Chris Dahlia. That's what you're talking about, right?
No, I meant the Black Dahlia. I accidentally slipped and said Dahlia, and I know you're sensitive to that.
Yeah, I don't really like to talk about that guy. Dude, I know so much stuff about this city. The Hollywood sign?
Yeah.
It's paper mache.
I thought it was origami.
No. In fact, they tried to fold it multiple times and never would do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
paper mache.
Paper mache. Paper mache. All paper mache.
You know that used to say something else. It said Hollywood, and then there was another word.
Land.
No.
What did it used to say?
Up yours, honky.
Hollywood up yours, honky?
Yeah.
That's so many words.
It was
that's
long.
So
yeah.
Big.
It ended in Burbank. Yeah, it said, wow. Hollywood up yours, honky.
Well, you know why Hollywood did that? They put up a sign because a lot of people were putting up signs on the mountains, the Santa Monica mountain range.
Yeah.
People who bought property up there, they would just put a sign up. Like one guy, it just said Mike above one guy's house.
Really?
Mike, yeah. He was just letting people know that's because people were like, there wasn't GPS back then.
So you just...
So you're like, how do I get to fucking Mike's house?
Mike.
You just look for Mike. You can go right up to Mike's house really easily.
Yeah.
Mike was the first guy to start. I think Dan, Steve, Kevin, and Burl did it.
Yeah.
And Burl was hard.
Burl Ives, you mean?
Burl Ives.
Yeah.
He was probably the second or third guy to do it. And after all the competition, Hollywood was like, enough.
Yeah.
We're going to tell people the real place to go to, which is Hollywood up yours, white honky.
Yeah. No, you don't need to say white.
Oh, because it's...
Honky means white.
Right. Does white mean honky?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're...
So you threw in an extra word that you were explaining the word
I was
explaining
the word
the
to
word.
People that didn't know what
honky
it was.
Honky is white. You don't... Yeah.
Why don't we have an offensive word?
It is honky.
Is honky offensive to whites?
Oh, hell yeah.
That's just funny to me.
Have you ever heard like two black guys refer to you as a honky?
No, but I would laugh very hard if they did.
I've heard it.
A black guy's gone, hey, honky.
Yeah, it's
what do you,
weird.
What
it's
do you
weird.
Do?
You realize how that stuff hurts.
Does that hurt you?
Well, it was it's kind of it's like shocking. Like when someone said that, it's kind of like, oh well, because it's just a word, but you know that the connotation with it is it's kind of like it's like a it's dagger, negative. Right? It's like honky, and it's like
what's the etymology of honky? Do you know where honky comes from?
Yes.
Where does it come from?
It happened back in World War II. They had internment camps for albinos. And they rounded them up.
Wow.
They rounded up the albinos.
And they called it honky camp or something?
Yeah, they called it hockey camp. And then
hockey camp?
Hockey camp. And then the guy who built the sign misspelled it, and it said honky
camp. They were trying to get albinos to play hockey.
They wanted them to play hockey because you can't see them. They're on the ice, the white ice.
They're
so they're
fast.
Almost like ghosts. And so you just see a stick and a puck. And they were great honky players. And then... So it was just an alliteration, an alliteration mess. But yeah, there's still a few albinos in the NHL, but you wouldn't know it.
They're there, but you couldn't tell.
You don't know it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see some of those weird replays and
like how did that
puck get up in the right corner? What do you believe in miracles? And over in the corner, there's a albino tittering, like because he did. He did it, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Wild?
I didn't know that about honky.
Yeah.
I had
that's
no
where it
idea.
Came from.
Wow, that's incredible. So when someone calls say Harlan, you're a honky.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't call me some albino hockey player. That's not who I really am.
Yeah, that's not me.
Wow. Cracker? Is cracker offensive?
Cracker's offensive. Yeah. That's aimed at white people, right?
That cracker's a white guy, yeah.
Especially if your first name's Graham. Then it's really
rude.
Because then you're being called a snack product, really. That's like
unless it's kind of a high end. If your first name is Ritz, it's kind of like
Ritz.
All right.
Okay, Ritz cracker. Yeah.
Ritz are nice.
Graham's tough.
Well, Graham is it. Yeah.
And if they really want to like, they cut right to Triscuit. Hey, Triscuit. Yo.
Oof.
Boom.
That's so mean.
Yeah.
Fibrous loser.
Yeah,
you fibrous dry.
Dry. Hint of salt.
A little bit of salt. Yeah. Pinch
yeast
of sea salt.
Infection. Asshole.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we are.
Yeah. So it's me.
Have you been
calling hurts?
Name
no
calling
matter
hurts.
How you break it down.
Have you been white your whole life?
Wet.
White. Have you been white your whole life?
No.
What are you? What were you before?
Oh God, I don't know. Do we really want to get into that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was. I don't know if you've seen that kids that are born with a lot of hair. They call them werewolf. Like.
Werewolf
kids.
Babies? Yeah.
Yeah. You know those kids like in Latvia and Armenian kids, a lot of them, they have that symptom where they get facial.
It's just hair everywhere.
Hair. So I was one of those kids and you couldn't see the pigment of my skin. I was just so I was very brown and hairy. And then we found a great waxing place in the valley and we got it cleaned up.
You took
up.
Care of it?
Yeah. The great waxing place called Bikinis and Curls over on Oxnard.
That's on Oxnard, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been over there.
Great, yeah. $4.99 for an hour per hour, and they cleaned me up in about, I'd say I was in there, it's a big job, probably about 5.5 hours.
That's a long time.
Yeah, a lot of, you know.
A lot of ripping.
Yeah, but now I'm white.
Right, after the fact.
White. I don't, are we really white or are we kind of pinkish? We're kind of.
I'm orange.
Yeah, you're
I have an orange hue.
Orange hue.
You're a...
I'm recovering.
If you would be a color of a car, if it was a car name, what would your car name color be? Like you, that's more like a...
probably a facade.
Yeah, a facade.
Facade.
Yeah.
Which also...
Mine would be Cactus Cooler. This I kind of
look
like...
Oh, yeah, you are Cactus Cooler.
I am a Cactus Cooler.
Cactus Cooler and Facade.
And Facade.
Which also is the same way... I mean, it's weird to put this in a word, but... The car facade is always it's the same. If you could spell out the sound of a silent popcorn fart in a movie theater, that's the facade.
Facade.
Yeah.
Facade.
So whoever named that car really wasn't thinking it through.
Yeah, because that's a silent popcorn fart.
That's a silent popcorn fart.
Do you ever
sound.
Fart when you're on an airplane? Do you ever fart?
Oh, yeah. I
Me
love
too.
It.
I mean, it's my favorite
it.
Thing to do.
Because no one knows who does it. Who's
I raise
done
my
it.
Hand.
Oh,
the
you
moment
do.
People turn around, I go like this.
Oh, you do?
I look right in their eye, and I go, mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I let them know.
You know what I like to do? This sounds mean, but if you get a person beside you who, when they sit down, they're on their phone.
Yeah.
Or they're like, they're one of these people that are stuffing their bag, or they're, you know, they do something that irritates you, and you just go, oh, man, I got to fucking, roast beef Wellington crumble cake slammer ready for you. And then you can let it rip because you can't blame anyone because you're surrounded by people.
Mm-hmm. And everyone looks around. Everyone
looks around. And especially if you go like this and just pretend you're asleep and you let it go, they never think the sleeping guy did it.
I actually, like I said, not only do I tell people that it was me, occasionally
you're proud of it.
One of my favorite things to do, this is a fact, this is real. I like to fart on my way to the bathroom. It's so funny to me.
Oh,
I like to fart as I'm walking through
the
aisle.
That's called crop dusting.
Yeah, but not for me. Not for me.
What's it called for you? Lead poisoning?
It's called giving it my all. I'm just giving it my all. I let it all out. Yeah.
Wow.
Because crop dusting is usually light. It's usually a light sprints. And mine is I let it ride, baby.
You let your red eye really express itself.
I let it go. Yeah. Wow. I drop a bomb on him, man. I really do. And then I go to the bathroom and I just wash my hands and I laugh the whole time. I just am looking in the mirror laughing. I don't even have to piss. I just want to fart the aisle out.
Wow, dude. You are. You got something going on.
I got something, man. Yeah. I got something going on.
Wow. Power slam.
We've taken about 1,000 different directions on this, which has been my favorite.
Oh, sorry. Should we?
No. That's exactly what I like.
Oh, you do?
But I like how you say sorry as well, as a Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry's so sweet.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry sounds like you actually are sorry. But when I say sorry, it probably doesn't sound like I mean it. Like here, watch. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I mean it?
Sorry?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. See, if you're sorry, it sounds like you're actually sorry. But
what
do
I say?
Sorry. You say, hey, I'm sorry.
That's the one thing, going back to the voiceover stuff, where they always make me do it over.
They make you say sorry?
When I say sorry and when I say mom. They go, you have to say mom.
Mom.
And pasta. They make me say...
Pasta.
How do you say it?
Pasta.
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 I'm eating some delicious pasta.
No, you're eating delicious pasta.
It's not pasta. It's not past me. It's asta. It's pasta. It's here. It's asta me. Asta means in front of.
I know, but...
Pasta. Pasta in front of. Pasta. I'm eating pasta. Pasta means it's already... It's gone.
But just for, like, the record, can we just say pasta?
We have to say pasta.
Pasta.
Pasta. Tortellini is...
Tortellini.
What is tortellini?
It's
what
pasta.
It's pasta.
It's pasta.
Hmm. How do you say... Say marinara.
Marinara.
That's perfect. Now say marinara with pasta.
Marinara with pasta.
You're close. We're never going to be able to land it. In fact, let's just make... Why is this cartoon Italian? Let's just make it Japanese. How about some sushi?
Yeah.
Say sushi.
Sushi.
See? That sounds right. We'll just change the meal that you're eating in that cartoon. That's all I would do. I would just switch it up.
Yeah.
I like how Canadians talk, though. I really do. A lot of it has a nice end to it. Well, everything, eh? It's just kind of have... There's like an up and out. Like an up and out, you know?
Some of that can get annoying, though.
Oh, no. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Out of all the dialects that can get annoying, I don't think Canadian is one of them.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
What's the most annoying one?
Well, the cheapest version, people make fun of the South. I think that's cheap. Because people say dumb when they do a dumb accent.
Yeah.
They always go with like a dumb, stupid, like, oh, yeah, well, dude, my fucking da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
That's cheap to me. I think it's funnier when you go to a real specific region, you know?
Yeah.
Like Michigan, you know? Oh, yeah. Michigan's close to Canadian, but not too close, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like a Midwest mom is very funny to me. That kind of dialect is funny to me. Or like Oklahoma's like almost, it's like an almost accent, but not really.
Yeah.
Southern Missouri does that too, where you're like, I don't think I have an accent. That's what they would say.
You don't?
That's what they would say. I don't think so. Does it sound like I have an accent?
You don't.
Yeah, see, I just did that. But right now, this is my voice. Do I have an accent now?
No. But you probably wish,
what
right?
What about now? Dude, I have an accent now?
Yeah, now you do.
What is that? What region would that be?
IKEA?
That's an IKEA. Yeah, that's right. That's aisle 4.
But I think the Southern accent is cute. I find it charming.
Sometimes.
If I'm like, you know, down in Mississippi somewhere and all of a sudden I hear, hey, boy, give me your wallet.
That's cute.
I find that cute. I find that charming.
Won't you give me... They always ask for a kiss. Every guy that robs me, they go, won't you give me a kiss? Won't you kiss me? Won't you give me a little smooch?
Oh, wow.
And then I kiss them and then they're like, now give me some cash. And I have to give them money.
You should carry a little bag of Hershey's Kisses around. And then when they, hey, boy, give me a kiss.
Hey, boy,
and
give
you
me
just
kiss.
Give them a little chocolatey treat and
tinfoil. What if they ask for a smooch? Then what do I do? Does Hershey's make smooches as well?
You could give them Tom Hanks' dog. Isn't his dog's name Hooch?
Hooch. I said Smooch.
You said Smooch.
Great movie. What's your favorite movie?
Probably.
That's the most broad question ever asked. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, man. It's a toss-up between Kevin Costner's Dragonfly.
Love it.
And Curly Sue.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good. Mine's The Notebook.
Oh, dude. You love Brian Gosling in The Rain.
I actually skip the rain part. That's the one part I don't watch. I watch everything but the rain part. Once it starts raining, I just don't like to see wet people.
Oh, you'd hate Rain Man, man. Don't watch that.
Okay. Is that about?
It's like about a man in the rain.
Oh, I don't want to watch that then.
Dustin Hoffman. He just damp the whole movie. He's out in the rain.
Dusty Hoffman, isn't it?
Dustin Hoffman. He's just in the rain and stupid as
he's
a doorknob.
He's Tootsie, right?
He wore a dress.
He wore a dress in Tootsie?
Yeah, no, he's Rain Man.
You know, that was today that Tootsie would get really ripped apart. They would say, here's another white guy taking away a female role.
Yeah.
He would get fucked for that. Rain Man would get fucked. When you did, hey, I have to ask you.
Yes.
When you did Dumb and Dumber and you were the trooper.
Yeah.
You improv the whole thing.
Well, the story is that it was my first movie.
Right. I was going to say, I thought you had done something right before. Didn't you do something right before that?
No.
That was your very first movie?
My first movie.
It was Dumb and Dumber.
And I was terrified. So when I got on set, I did it exactly according to the script.
Did you know Jim from Canada or no?
I didn't know him from Canada. I knew him once I got down here.
Because he is Toronto as well, isn't he?
We started at the same club in Toronto, yeah.
What was it called? Yuck Yucks. That's right. Didn't Yuck Yucks used to make people sign lifetime contracts or something like that?
I think after I left, they started doing something like that.
Yeah, they wanted to manage you or something.
They didn't want you to work at other clubs, I think, was the way it went.
That's what it was, right. But so you both started Yucks, and then you came down here.
I came down here. He was already gone. I'd never met him till I moved down here. He had left years before I started doing stand-up.
Because he was moved here 18 or 19 or something?
Yeah, I think he
moved.
Yeah.
You came down in your 20s?
I came down when I was in my mid-20s. Yeah, like 12, later 20s, probably like 27, 28.
Okay. And then your first movie?
First movie was Dumb and Dumber, and so I was terrified, and I memorized my bits, and we got out on set, and we did about three or four takes where I did it right off the script, and then the Farrelly brothers pulled me over, and they said, Harlan, do it your way now. And I go, what do you mean do it my way? And they say, do it, put the Harlan on it.
There you go.
And I just didn't need to hear anything else. I went, okay. And then we did about five more takes where I just made it up like probably 80%. I did the structure of, pull over, let me see your driver's license. But everything after like the setup that needed to happen, I just went.
That's good.
And I just remember like loving it because that's where I feel like I'm in my element. And I remember making Jim crack up and making Jeff crack up and making the cast and the crew crack up. And what was really bizarre about it, and this bled into a lot of my other movies, is, when you improvise in that moment and, you're kind of in panic mode. You're letting your brain take over.
Totally.
So I'm following my mouth. I'm not playing. I'm just letting my mouth lead me.
Right.
And so you do it and you forget what you say because before you can think about it, you're onto the neck. They ask you to do it again and again and again. So I don't know that I remembered one word of any of the improv stuff. So when I went to see the movie, I was at the premiere. It was at the Cinerama Dome on Sunset Boulevard here.
Yeah.
And I remember, first of all, being terrified because it was the first time I'd seen myself on a big screen. So I was like going like this, looking through and all of a sudden my scene came up and all these lines that I don't remember doing. And I was just like kind of mortified. And then I remember hearing some laughter. I heard someone laughing right behind me. Wow. So I turned around and it was Richard Pryor in his wheelchair sitting right behind me.
Holy shit.
And I went, how does a kid from the suburbs of Toronto end up here? And one of the comedy legends is laughing at something I said. Like, it was so surreal. I thought I was in a dream. It was just very strange.
Wow. Yeah. Richard fucking Pryor laughing at you.
Yeah.
It was, not knowing that you're right there.
He didn't know, and it was just bizarre. I was more terrified than anything. I was just so nervous, and I almost couldn't enjoy the moment. I was so freaked out. But all of a sudden, you hear people laughing at what you're doing, and it's magical, you know?
Do you ever go watch stuff that you're in the movie theater or no? Do you typically do that ever or no? You do a movie, will you go to the movie theater outside of the premiere? Will you just go and watch it?
No, once the premiere's done, I don't go.
Yeah.
But if for some reason I missed the premiere, like I couldn't make it, or I, you know, it's a movie where maybe I had a smaller part, mm-hmm. and you know, they didn't have a premiere, it wasn't a big movie where they had a premiere, I'll go to the theater if I didn't see it. But most of the movies I've been in, I've had big premieres, and that's one of my favorite parts of doing movies.
That's probably the best part.
Yeah, because the premiere, I never want to see the movie before. Like, they always have cast and crew screenings.
Yeah.
And I never want to go. I always want to see it in the moment with the crowd and with the energy and the magic of the red carpet. It's so fun. That's the best part.
Yeah. I can't wait to feel that.
Yeah, yeah. Are you doing some movies?
No, I've done a few different things, but everything I've ever done has been sliced down to almost nothing.
Oh, well, don't worry. It'll come.
Okay. I'm not going to do movies ever. I think I made a decision. I don't want to do movies.
Oh.
They made the decision for me, but I'm going to follow suit.
I can call a guy if you want.
Don't call him. Okay. Call a girl if you got one.
I know this guy, Chris D'Elia.
Don't! That's my fucking enemy. Dude, that's it.
I was trying to help.
That's it. I'm going to call him. I'm going to fucking tell him that we're going to go over there and we're going to fight him, you and I. You owe me a fight with Chris.
Why don't you just tell him you want to be in a movie with him?
I don't want to be in a fucking movie with him.
Wow.
See how mad I just
got?
Remember
that anger you're talking? Wow. You're really...
Well, Chips is a bad guy. That's why I don't like him, man. I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't like him. People just don't know I write all of Chris D'Elia's jokes and that I'm sick of hiding it.
Yeah.
I read his material.
Come out, bro.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. Not in this climate. I can't come out. Wow. So that Dumb and Dumber moment was the most surreal moment you've ever had because you were young too, right? And you still, it stuck with you. It, like, that's one of those things that I think because when you're young and you haven't done a lot of stuff, those things, even if it's not the coolest thing you've done, it sticks with you more than anything you've ever done.
Oh, yeah. It was because, you know, I always had a vision that I would do movies. And then when it finally happened and I was finally there and it was just
that's fucking wild.
It was really surreal, yeah.
How old were you when you did that movie?
Let's see, I was probably maybe 30 or 31 or something.
Yeah.
I got in late. Like, I came down to Hollywood, like I said, when I was about 28, so took me a few years just to kind of...
I think that's pretty fucking good. Most people are still out here struggling hard and they'll be their way till forever. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a pretty good track run. You come down here and a couple years later, you're in arguably the one of the best comedies of all time, right?
Yeah,
that's wild.
I still, you know, it's only as I get older and I look back at things that I was blessed to do that I really realize how lucky and blessed I've been to do some great things.
See, I think the second part is right. I think blessed is good, but I don't believe in luck. I've had this conversation. I don't like the word luck for me. It's for some reason I think doesn't really exist. I think I think luck is. I think it's made. Here's what luck is. Luck is the lottery. It's complete and utter accidental, universal happenstance. It's something that almost have zero control over.
Yeah.
Your whole career and everything you've built is because you've built something. So you're blessed to have opportunities, but you capitalize on them. So you know what I mean? It's kind of
that's
how I feel. A very smart man once told me, one of my good friend's father said that. I said, hey, I'm really lucky. My first sitcom I ever got, I was eating dinner at their house in Northern California. And he was like, we're really proud of you. And I said, well, I'm just so lucky to fucking do it, you know? And he was like, no. He's like, you worked so fucking hard.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's in any industry is what he was saying. He was like, he's like, I don't know anything about the business, but I know that it's not. The word luck gets tossed around like, well, they got lucky. It's like, That luck thing happens extremely rarely in our business. Most people, whether you like them or not, probably work pretty fucking hard to get to where they are in this game.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty tough to get.
Well, I guess when I say luck, I'm not referring to it in terms of how it touches the work.
Yeah.
I think I refer to it in terms of, oh, I ended up going to that thing, that party, and I met a guy there that right. I never would have met, who said, hey, you want to come to Hollywood, or you know what I mean? I think there's lucky things, but as it comes to the work and applying your energy, and you're right, that's not luck. That's pure work. That's pure machine driven.
Yeah.
But I think there's, when I say luck, it's, I think that's the random things that you can't control through your work.
Totally. That just are.
But mostly your work is what steers that ship. But let's say you're steering the ship and you're like, oh, there's a big clump of seaweed. Let's go around it. And in going around it, you meet someone there by mistake, and that affects your course.
I go right into the seaweed, by the way.
You do?
I go right to it.
There's baby endangered turtles in that seaweed.
That's why I go for it. I'm trying to get some of that caught in my rudders.
Oh, you like that? It's like putting hockey cards in your bike wheels. Oh, you like that? Okay.
Baseball cards here in the United States. Or actually, sorry. We use bicycle cards.
Oh.
Playing cards to put in our bikes. That's what we do.
Okay.
It's called bicycle cards for a reason, because it goes in your bicycle spokes.
Okay.
You guys use hockey cards?
We used hockey cards, yeah.
Why would you do that to hockey? To nice cards and pictures of men.
Well,
you just wanted pictures of men in your wheels?
Albino cards, you couldn't see any. It's just like a blank card. We used
still made the noise?
Still made the noise, but there was nothing on them, so those were the ones we put in the spokes.
Oh, cool.
So we weren't really hurting anybody.
You Canadians are interesting.
Smart, right?
Yeah.
But I like it that you put baby sea turtles in your spokes to make the flap, because you probably get the flapping noise and the scream.
Yeah.
And then if you're pedaling on the beach, you probably get the bonus scream of the mother turtle sticking her head out of the water and screaming in horror as her children's heads are slapped repeatedly by a metal spike. The spoke.
You know what makes me hum, dude.
God, you're like a pyramid with Zika.
Zika. You sent me a text that said Zika. And I just sent you back a mosquito. A mosquito. Did you have mosquitoes in Toronto as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
We had mosquitoes in Chicago. You don't have them here. It's great. There's no mosquitoes here.
There are.
Pretty rarely.
I get them up at my house.
You do? Well, because you're up in the woods. Yeah. You're up near trees.
I'm in the hills. Yeah.
I did a... Okay. I'm in the hills. Jesus fucking Christ. I did a mosquito thing to the perimeter of...
Oh, okay.
My entire neighborhood, so no one here has ever seen a mosquito.
Oh, wow.
But nobody's allowed to leave. They're not allowed to leave this block.
I'm sure that has nothing to do with what you did. I think the reason things don't come into your community is because of that haunted house over on the corner.
But that guy is the mosquito farmer for the hills. He's the one that breeds for the hills. He brings them up every night and lets them go up there.
You know what's great about living in the hills where I do?
Yeah.
Every evening at around 5:30... Julie Andrews twirls past my front yard in a dress and sings.
Really?
Yeah.
The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
She sings The Sound of Music. The hills are alive.
She twirls through my front yard, and then about almost to the second, about a minute and 10 seconds later, the 12 Van Trapp children go by.
Wow.
And then about 4 minutes after that, Nazi soldiers come by.
What are Nazis doing up there?
Well, if you watch the movie, you'd know that the Nazis were looking for them at the end. They were hiding
those
in the grave.
Those were Nazis?
Yeah, German Nazis.
I love those guys. I didn't know they were Nazis.
Yeah, so I get her,
mm-hmm.
then I get the middle course, and then the Nazis for dessert. They twirl right by the swimming pool, along the grass, and then off into the neighbor's yard.
Do you know the show Small Wonder?
No, I don't.
You don't remember that show?
Is it?
No. There's an old television show. You remember Alf?
Alf, yeah.
Yeah. Alf lives literally across the street.
Ew. Alf looks like he's probably started AIDS.
Continued it. His brother started it.
Okay. Who's his brother?
Mouth.
Mouth.
Yeah, Mouth and Alf.
And his mother, Milf?
Milf and his dad, Dilf, yeah. Milf, Dilf, Mouth, and Alf.
I'd like to meet the Milf.
You can't.
She'd probably be a good lay. She's probably hairy as hell.
She's a good. They say she's a good stand. She actually has to. They stand up when they have sex. I've never seen them lay down once. Their beds are against the wall.
I should get them the number of my waxing guy down in the valley.
You should clean them right up.
Clean them up. That MILF would look hot, bald. Wow.
You got a beautiful, sick brain, dude.
That's what she's.
That's not what she said.
I didn't even finish it.
That's
bro.
What I said.
Yeah.
But you're right. You don't assume my gender. So I like that. Yeah. Are you on the road? Are you doing shows?
A little bit. I usually take the summers off, but I got a guy emailed me this week to go to Australia to do like 10 shows, like 10 cities in Australia.
You're going to relive that Australia tour?
I might go find that club, yeah. I'll go do the...
I hope you go back and find that fucking sex club.
The Australian sex club tour, isn't
that funny?
Take
me with you, please. I want to go
do
the... You would go? I just want to go see the Australian sex club with you and play it.
You should come with me to Burning Man in 2 weeks and they have an orgy tent.
I can't.
Why?
They kicked me out. I'm permanently banned from Burning Man.
You went?
I lit the man on fire like a day early.
Oh, damn.
They got so upset. They were mad.
That's not good. Yeah.
Are you really going to Burning Man?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Let your freak flag fry. Fly. Fry.
Yeah.
Fry? Fly.
Fly or
sky.
Fry, yeah. But
let it go.
They have an orgy room there if you ever decide.
Maybe next time I'll go.
Yeah.
Maybe next time I'll go. If people do want to come see you when you go to Australia, when you tour.
Oh, that's your website? Not even set up yet. But,
plug it. Plug your website. What is it?
Oh, harlanwilliams.com.
Creative.
And I've got, I'm going to Vegas in September, Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club.
I did it. You're going to love it.
Yeah, I opened it. I opened it.
Oh, you did it. Oh, you
I already... opened it first the first weekend.
And you're going
like,
back.
And they're having me back. And then I'm doing some club up in Rochester, but you can check my website.
Check it out, dude. You know what he does. HarlanWilliams.com. I thank you so much for coming. We've learned a lot about taxidermy, about the lake under Los Angeles, about the Sound of Music, about Cousins.
If you want to come up tonight at sunset and see Maria twirl across the lawn.
I don't like the Von Trapp kids.
What about the Nazis?
Those are my favorite. I will come see them.
You want to come for the end?
Did they do pictures and autographs? Is there
they
a meet
do,
and greet?
Yeah. There's
the Nazis?
A meet and greet, yeah.
I would love to go to a Nazi meet and greet.
Okay. Great. I'm glad we're going to go beyond this, what we're doing here.
Beyond the pale.
You are pale, yeah.
Not that much. Look, I got some sun. The name of the show should be Beyond the Pale. Maybe next time. Maybe next time I'll rename it something like that. In the meantime, go to harlanwilliams.com. You guys can go see this brilliant, brilliant dude who I love very much. Go tell jokes all over the world. Go to andrewsantino.com. I'm not going to be going almost anywhere. That's not true. In September, I go to JFL Toronto. I go JFL 42 in Toronto.
That's my city.
I've never done JFL there. I've only done Montreal.
You're going to love it, bro.
I'm excited. September 19, 2021, I think I'm going to be there doing some shows in Toronto. We'll post about it. We'll let you know. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
This is incredible. This is incredible.
Hulk.
This is incredible.
Hulk.
Perfect.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.